2 Kings chapter 3. Empty, but not forever. Amen. Brother Ethan, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 16. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of what? Ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be what? Filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beast. Empty, but not forever." You may be feeling empty this morning. The word empty, according to Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary, the word empty means containing nothing. Containing nothing. Maybe you didn't get much sleep last night, and so you're feeling kind of empty right now. Like you contain nothing, no strength, no energy. Maybe you got up late and didn't have a chance really to eat breakfast, so you're feeling empty right now. You're feeling like nothing is in your stomach. Maybe that describes your bank account today. Empty. Nothing in it. Maybe that describes pretty close to your gas tank when it came time to come to church and you looked at that gauge and it was about empty, about nothing in it. Or maybe you're feeling empty in a more serious way. Another part of that definition of empty means lacking substance, meaning, or value. Lacking substance, meaning, or value. Maybe this is not just a today problem or right now problem that you're feeling empty, but maybe it's an everyday feeling that you feel. That lacking substance, meaning, or value in life. Maybe it seems that way because it seems like nothing ever turns out successful or prosperous like other people seem to have in their lives. It seems like they are always the winners. Well, if you can associate with some of those emotions that I just mentioned, then the Word of God will help us and give us comfort and wisdom and direction today. Number one, empty ditches and a tremendous thirst. Empty ditches and a tremendous thirst. It said in verse 16 once again. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts." What was the problem here? They had no water. If you back up to verse 6, 2 Kings 3 and verse 6, kind of get the setting here of what was going on. 2 Kings 3, 6. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle?" And he said, "I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses." And he said, "Which way shall we go up?" And he answered, "The way through what? The wilderness of Edom." So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey. And there was what? No water for the host, and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. So, in facing this foe, they decided to do a really sneaky military move. Instead of coming right at them, they would make a seven-day journey and come around behind them. And the factor that they didn't factor in was 7 days, they used up all their water, and they were out of water. And so now the king of Israel is afraid. He's the one that invited these kings to come with him to fight his enemy. And now he's thinking, you know what? Now we're weak with thirst, and now they're going to conquer us. Sometimes in life, do you feel like you're just surrounded by adversaries? You guys might feel that way at work. You know, maybe you ladies might feel that way, you know, amongst whoever you associate or face. And you just feel like you're surrounded by adversaries. And are you thirsting to see the power of God to overcome the need? Well, under this point, number one, seek the word of the Lord. When we feel like that, when we feel like we are just surrounded by adversaries and problems, that's the time for us to seek God in His word. That's what Jehoshaphat did. In 2 Kings 3, here verse 11, 2 Kings 3:11, but Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord, that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" So, you know, the king of Israel in verse 10 is getting fearful. You know, has the Lord brought all of us here together just to be defeated? It's Jehoshaphat, verse 11, that brings up, listen, isn't there a prophet of the Lord here somewhere that we can inquire, we can talk to? And one of the king's servants, the king of Israel's servants, answered and said, "Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. So we, when we are thirsty, when we are tired and we are weary, and it just seems like problems beset us, that's the time to go to the Word of God and seek God's face. If you hold your place here, notice with me in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. There are times when things seem so dark, we just don't know what to do. That's the time to seek the Word of God. Psalm 105. Thy word is what? A lamp unto my feet. So that's all you need for your feet. Just a lamp will show where to take the next step. But it says, and a what? A light unto my path. So we need something to go a little further too. So the lamp is for our feet. The light is for our path to see ahead a little ways. And so that's what we get from seeking direction from the Word of God. Notice in Isaiah 41, Isaiah 41:17. You know, sometimes we make the mistake of thinking, but the Bible can't answer my specific question. Oh yes, the Lord can. If we have a specific question and we pray, it's amazing how God will just stir our hearts when we read a certain verse, and it'll just meet the need of whatever we are asking, and it will help us to know. I'd encourage you, when you're seeking God's face about some problem or some need, keep yourself a little notebook handy, or we have some like Bible journals here as well. But jot down the verses, because if you don't, you'll soon forget them. So jot them down, and you'll see how God is leading. You know, sometimes when you're looking at a GPS on your phone or on some GPS device, you know, it might be zoomed way out and you can't see the details of the road, so you have to zoom in. So the Word of God will do both. It'll give us a general overview and it'll zoom in to show us what to do. You know, the wise men didn't find Jesus by the star alone. Sometimes you ask people, say, how did the wise men find Jesus? Well, the star Well, the star got their attention, but they went to Jerusalem. And Jesus was born at Bethlehem. And what did they find at Jerusalem? They found people who knew the Word of God. Micah 5:2. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. And the Bible says that after that point, after they consulted the Word of God, the star moved. The Bible does not say the star moved until that point. They consulted the Word. Then the star moved and showed right above where Jesus was in Bethlehem. So the Bible will show further out and also show the detail of what we need. But in Isaiah 41:17. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, and fountains in the midst of what? The valleys. I will make the wilderness what? A pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. Verse 18 fits so much what we're going to see back in this passage when we come back to it. But I'll read it again, verse 18. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. So the first thing we need to do is to seek the word of the Lord. Number two, we need to have a thirst for repentance and righteousness. We need to have a thirst for repentance and righteousness. Let's go back to 2 Kings 3. So Jehoshaphat, it's his idea. Listen, isn't there a prophet of the Lord somewhere where we can seek God about this matter? Let's not give up. Well, so they come to Elisha, verse 13, 2 Kings 3, 13. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Remember, it was the king of Israel that was getting all forlorn, saying, you know, what's going to happen here? Is the Lord going to deliver us into the hand of our enemy? Isn't it amazing how much gets blamed on God? That's our fault. But so many things are blamed upon God. Well, that's the king of Israel. When Elisha said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother. Well, we know what their tradition was, going to the prophets of Baal. And Elisha says to him, king of Israel, what are you doing here? Why are you coming before me? Why aren't you going to your false prophets? And the king of Israel said unto him, nay, for what? The Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. Wait a minute. Whose idea was this? Go back in verse 6. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria, that's the north, that's Israel, the same time and numbered all Israel, and he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. But go back to verse 13. So Elisha is saying to him, what are you doing here? Why don't you go to your false prophets? Why are you coming before me? Immediately, nay, the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. No, my friend, it was you. It was you, King Jehoram. It was you that called all these kings together. It was you. Jehoshaphat said, which way shall we go up? And he says, the way of Edom. So now they pick up the king of Edom too. No, it was Jehoram's idea to go through the wilderness. It was Jehoram's idea to go against the enemy. And what is he doing now? He's blaming it on the Lord. Verse 14. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee, nor see thee. You may say, well, that's kind of harsh talk, wasn't it? Well, not when you consider the context. Not when you consider Jehoram never asked God about whether to go or not. In fact, Jehoshaphat never asked God about whether to go or not. Jehoram just asked him to go, and he says, "Yeah, I am as thou art. You know, we're in it with you." It's only when they get in trouble, Jehoshaphat says, "Listen, can't we ask someone to inquire of the Lord? You know, about this situation." So the point here is repentance. Elisha was not trying to be mean to Jehoram. Elisha was getting across the point of repentance, turning from his sin. So if it was not for Jehoshaphat, verse 14, Elisha would not have been any help to them. So verse 15. "But now bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And so before I get ahead of myself here, we looked at two points so far. We need to seek the word of the Lord. Number two, we need to have a thirst for repentance and righteousness. And number three, with humility, we need to get to work. With humility, we need to get to work. So, verse 15, the minstrel plays. Verse 16, here's the message from God. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of what? Ditches." Dig ditches? How many of you have ever dug a ditch? How many of you have ever gotten thirsty digging? Yeah. Dig ditches? Wait a minute. Don't you understand we are already thirsty? And you're asking us to fill this valley full of ditches? That's hard work. What are you going to do when we get the valley filled with ditches? Are you going to push our dead carcasses into the ditches? You know, are we digging our own graves? What are we doing here? Digging is hard work. Digging is considered a lowly job. Hold your place here once again, please. Turn with me to Luke 16. Luke 16:1. You know, have you ever noticed sometimes, maybe oftentimes, when you ask the Lord for direction, you often get an answer that seems maybe beyond your capability, maybe beyond what you feel you can actually do? And even further than that, sometimes when you ask the Lord for direction, it may seem He's asking you to do something which is going to make you the loser, not the winner. But you know what? We should learn over time that what seems, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. But Luke 16, verse 1. "And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man, which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away my from me the stewardship. I what? Cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed." He says he cannot dig. Was it below his dignity? Wasn't he strong enough to dig? I mean, how much instruction do you need to run a shovel? Really, is that a hard thing? Is it? No. It's pretty simple. I mean, it's a hard thing to use, but it's not a hard thing to understand what you have to do. But it's hard work. So back in 2 Kings 3, what would be the purpose of making the valley full of ditches when they're already thirsty? They've already made a 7-day journey around to where they are. They're tired, they're thirsty, they're feeling weak. And God says, make this valley full of ditches. It's hard work. It makes you more thirsty. It would have been easy for this man to say, no, I am not going to make this valley full of ditches. I'm already thirsty. I'm already fatigued. I'm already weary, and that will just do me in. That'll finish me off. I'm not going to fill the valley full of ditches. But God says, make the valley full of ditches. Man says, I can't. I'm already thirsty. Man says, I can't. It'll kill me. You know, and when we have that attitude, we never will see the hand of God. You know, our lives are filled with decisions. And those decisions, oftentimes, if we're willing to follow the Lord, as I said already, oftentimes those decisions, it seems like we are going to be the loser if we obey the Lord. But if we will obey Him, we'll find the opposite to be true. We will find victory. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Why was the Apostle Paul victorious in his life, even despite so much adversity? 2 Kings 1, verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, and then what? Above strength, insomuch that we despaired, what? Even of life. Yeah, this is Paul talking. We were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Oh, Lord, just take my life. This is just more than I can bear, what I'm facing. It's just more than I can handle. Verse 9, but we had what? The sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in who? God. God which what? Raiseth the dead. I don't have it in me to do this. I don't have it in me to dig this valley full of ditches. I'm already thirsty. I'm already tired. 7 days on the trail. I can't do it. But I've got the sentence of death in myself that I will, by God's grace, obey the Lord. Even if it seems like they're going to use those ditches to just bury my dead carcass, I am going to, by God's grace, obey the Lord anyway. That's why the Apostle Paul was successful. Back in 2 Kings 3, with this need, God didn't say, choose me out the strongest and best men you have. He did not say, choose out the people with the best weaponry. Those of you guys who are into hunting, you know, maybe there's a certain brand of compound bow or crossbow that's far superior to others. You guys that are into the gun side of it, there's all kinds of brand names of guns. There's cheaper guns, there's more expensive guns, all kinds of things, all kinds of equipment. But God didn't say, choose me out all the guys that are like King Saul, you know, head and shoulders above everybody. Choose out all the guys like Samson, you know, even though Samson's true power came from the Holy Spirit, not from his own muscles. We saw that when he had grieved God and grieved the Spirit of God, that he didn't have any strength against those people. But you just notice here that God didn't say, I need the choice people, the choice men here. No. He didn't need the strongest people. He didn't need the people with the best weapons. What did God need? Well, he said in verse 16, 2 Kings 3:16. He said, make this valley full of ditches. Make this valley full of ditches. You know what God needed? He didn't need man's puny strength. He didn't need man's puny inventions of weapons. What God needed in this battle was empty places. Empty places. He needed ditches. What God needed was a place, an empty place to fill and show His power. Are you thirsty today? I am. I'm thirsty to see God's power. I am not thirsty to see man's power. I am not thirsty to see man's inventions and ideas. But I am thirsty to see God's power and glory. Hold your place once again, if you would, and turn to Psalm 63. Psalm 63 and verse 1. Psalm 63 and verse 1. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Haven't you seen God's power and His glory in the sanctuary? Haven't you seen God's power in your own life when you spend time in the Word of God, reading the Bible and in prayer? Doesn't your heart just burn with excitement when you see the power of God in the Scriptures, and as you pray and as you wait on God and just ponder the things that God can do? Verse 2, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Yes. Let's go to Psalm 143. Psalm 143. I am thirsty to see God's power, His true power, not man's small imitation of it. Curtis Hudson used to tell a little story about the preacher who would constantly come home and say, to his wife. He was constantly trying to fish for compliments. You know, how did I do today? How did I do today? And she would compliment him. But he was just always looking for that. And then I can't remember the whole story, but I don't know, maybe it was him that was saying something about, am I a model preacher or something? Anyway, so she finally looked it up, and model, a small imitation of the real thing. So kind of took the wind out of his sails there. But Psalm 143, verse 3. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. Have you felt like that? Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all Thy works. I muse on the work of Thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto Thee. My soul thirsteth after Thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not Thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear Thy loving kindness in the morning. For in Thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto Thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto Thee to hide me. Teach me to do Thy will. For Thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Back in 2 Kings 3, what God needed to win this victory was not the choicest, the best. He didn't need the smartest. He didn't need the person with the most abilities. He didn't need the person with the most equipment and high-tech weaponry. What God needed was empty space. He needed ditches. that he could fill. God is still searching. In this old world, God is still searching for people, not that are filled with the best strength, the best mind, the best of anything. God is not searching for people who are filled with themselves. God is searching for people who are empty of self, dying daily. God is searching. God is searching for someone whose life seems to be beset with problems. Here's Jehoshaphat in the midst of problems. God is searching for people that are beset with problems but are empty of self or ideas, saying, Lord, help me. Help me. Lord, I will obey you. Even if it appears like it's going to kill me, I will do what you say to do. You know, God is not looking for us to come with to him with some great plan. God is looking for us to come to him saying, God, I don't have a plan. Please use me. Please, Lord, show me your plan. God is looking for ditches, empty places that he can fill. So, in 2 Kings here 3, in verse 18, and this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones. And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered. You see how important it is to spend our time with God? It's when the offering was offered that, behold, there came what? Water by the way of Edom. And the country was what? Filled with water. Remember, it didn't take, verse 17, it didn't take the wind, it didn't take the rain, but the country indeed was filled with water. Verse 21, and when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward and stood in the border, and they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon what? The water. And the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. You know how it is in the morning when the sun comes up. It's so beautiful, the colors. Well, they saw this reflection, and the water looked like blood to them. Verse 23, and they said, this is blood. The kings are surely slain, and they have smitten one another. Now, therefore, Moab to the spoil. And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them. But they went forward, smiting the Moabites, even in their country. You know what it took on the part of these people? Being willing to obey the Lord. It took nothing of themselves. It wasn't their ability, their personal physical strength to fight the enemy. It didn't take their weapons. What it took was an empty place for God to fill. And he filled it. And the battle was won. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 9, Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 9, and verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in what? His wisdom. Neither let the mighty man glory in what? His might. Let not the rich man glory in what? His riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. What is the Lord looking for? An emptiness on our part. Notice in Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah 4 and verse 6. Zechariah 4 and verse 6. Zechariah 4, 6. The Bible says, "And he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by what? Might, nor by what? Power, but by what? My spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." And so today, as we think about this, emptiness. But not for long, not forever. And so many times in our lives, we feel just overcome with adversaries, with problems. We have a longing to see God's hand, God's power. We're thirsty. I'm thirsty to see God's power. And I just pray that in this week, in this day, that we would come before the Lord, not with our ideas, not with our plans, not with our so-called abilities, but that we would come before the Lord with an empty place that He could fill His power, His plans. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for how You can fill our hearts to overflowing if we will but yield to You. I pray, Father, if there are any here this morning that have never been saved, that they would realize today that they need Jesus. That without Jesus, we are lost and undone in our sin. And the wages of our sin is death. But that Jesus, the pure and perfect Son of God, came through a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect life and died on the cross, paying that sin debt for us. And if we will repent and receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, that He will save us and give us everlasting life. And I pray You'd help us, Lord, as Christians. We need Your guidance every day. This world is filled with wickedness and sin, and is no friend of the saints. And Lord, we need Your help, Your power, Your encouragement. Lord, we are thirsty today to see Your power and Your glory. And Lord, there's nothing that we can offer You. Lord, I can't offer You any plans I have or ideas I have. All I can offer You is an empty place, a place that I'm asking You to fill with Your power and Your glory. I pray in Jesus' name.